saved by Christ. I'm going to give you a third reason why I think that we must continue to emphasize missions these days, and it has to do with this verse. First of all, we're going to look at this verse again, then I'm going to give you the reason. So we look at this verse, and we observe that this verse is like a work of art. If it was a musical composition, it would be a Mozart. If it was a painting, it would be a Picasso. Or if you don't like Picasso, it would be a Rembrandt. This is just a beautiful 25 words or so that just says it all. But there is a very inconvenient word right in the middle of it all. Let's look at it again. Right in the middle of that verse, towards the end, there is this little word, perish. Perish? What do you mean, perish? Here's this beautiful verse about God and God's love and the Son and everlasting life. What is the word perish doing in there? It's like a fly in the ointment. The word perish is in there because it indicates to us the true state of man apart from Christ. And why it is that we need ministers here in the United States, and why it is that we need missionaries around the world, because people are perishing. What do I mean people are perishing? What I mean is when we just take a look at human beings, we realize that on the one hand, we're astounded by how good human beings sometimes are, and at other times, we're quite distressed about how bad human beings are. The human being can soar like angels. The human being also can descend down to the pit like demons. We do beautiful things. We do ugly things. What is wrong with this picture? And there are so many illustrations, but let me give you an illustration just from my own experience this past week. So one of the things I do for my exercise, I'm a runner. I participated in marathons a while ago and quite a few half marathons more recently. We live near Mission Bay in San Diego, and I have literally probably put hundreds of miles on the sidewalks around Mission Bay over and over again, round and round again. This last week I was running along just about at the end of my run. And what happens to me when I get towards the end of my run is my legs just get tired. I don't lift my feet as much as I should. And so I tripped over a little crack in the sidewalk. And that, by the way, is why it appears that I have jelly stains on my hands this morning. That's not grape jelly, actually. That's grapes from the sidewalk. And it's a very, very unflattering thing to do, to fall. There is just no good, graceful way. So I'm just kind of splatted there, thanking God I didn't break any bones and didn't hit my nose. But as I'm kind of starting to get back up again, a woman, a total stranger, stopped her car right there, rolled her window down, stuck her head out and said, "Are you okay? Can I do anything for you? Would you like me to give you a ride somewhere?" Well, you know, a young woman shouldn't be asking a man to get in her car and to drive him somewhere. Why did she do this? Because she was soaring like an angel. Here is somebody who needs help. I want to help him. There was a fellow in the car behind her who didn't feel the same sense of compassion. And while she is saying, "Can I help you? Do you need a ride?" he's laying on the horn trying to get her to move along. He was not soaring like angels. He was sort of going the other direction, but this is the state of man. We are sometimes beautiful and sometimes not. And the word for that in the Bible is sin, as I think you know. The problem the Bible identifies is that people are perishing apart from Christ. They're on their way to condemnation after this life is over. And in fact, they're already experiencing it in this life. And that's the reason why we need missionaries, because people are perishing. Now, there's good news about the fact that people are perishing. And that is that those who can be saved, that those who are perishing can be saved, and they can be saved by believing in Christ. So what I've been saying so far is this. So the first reason we need missionaries is because God is a God of love. And the second reason we need missionaries is because he loves the whole world. The third reason that we need missionaries is because those without Christ are perishing. But the fourth reason we need missionaries is because they can be saved by believing in Jesus. Thank God we have this concept we call justification by faith. And when somebody comes into a faith relationship with the Son of God, his sins are forgiven. There is everlasting life which is given. And even in this verse, of course, it says those who believe shall not perish, but have eternal life. You don't get that eternal life after you die. You get that eternal life in this life. The everlasting life by believing in Jesus starts right now. It's a great blessing. And this is a blessing for all people. This is a blessing for those who were Jews in the Old Testament, in the New Testament times. This was a blessing for those who were Gentiles in the New Testament time. And they kind of had to figure this out in the New Testament when the gospel was first being preached. There was a considerable amount of distress in understanding who this applied to. Because the Jews had the idea that, okay, this is how you get saved. First of all, you have to be a Jew like me. You know, I'm a good Jew. Look how I dress. Look at the way I eat my food and everything. Now, I accept this Messiah. I believe in this Messiah, and now I'm saved. And so the Jews had the idea, okay, then anybody else, like those Gentiles over there, anybody else who would like to become a Christian, anybody else who would like to get saved, it's very simple. First, you have to become a Jew. Okay. You just got to do it. You eat our food, dress the way we do, obey all the Ten Commandments, do all these things. And then, after you become a Jew, then you could be saved by Jesus. But the apostles were insistent about saying, no, that is not the way it works. We're saved by faith. And so Jews were able to believe in Jesus and be saved, though they continued to be Jews. They ate the same foods they did before. They went to the same temples that they went to before. They observed many of the same practices that they did before. They believed in Jesus and they were saved that way. As for the Gentiles could become believers without first becoming Jews because they could believe in Jesus. Now, it's true that among the Gentiles, there were a lot of practices which are anti-Christian, but what you find is that when you believe in Jesus, that's something that's a cleansing, purifying activity. And believing in Jesus is not just something you did once 20 years ago or a long time ago, but believing in Jesus is a present tense reality that continues on. And as we believe in Jesus, as we follow Jesus, as the teachings of Jesus get deeper and deeper into our hearts, as we obey Jesus more and more, we realize there are these things we need to leave behind. And the Gentiles who had been worshiping false idols and false gods, they were leaving those false idols behind because when they started believing in Jesus, they realized they didn't need those things anymore. And so they believed in Jesus just where they were, and the Gentiles were able to be saved just by believing in Jesus. A couple of years ago, Mindy and I had a great opportunity to go to China. So there is a wonderful ministry that many of you know of. They go on campuses of Chinese universities. They teach English. And the students are curious and in awe about them because the English teachers that go there who are raised up in the United States from Christian churches, they're Christians. The English teachers that go there treat their students in a different way than the way the Chinese professors treat the students. The culture in China is a shame and honor culture. And so you honor those who are doing great. Look at those students who are doing great. Hooray! And you really shame those who are doing poorly. Now, the Christian attitude is, blessed are the poor. Jesus reached out to the weak and the lame. He spent time with sinners. He wasn't that impressed with people who thought they were righteous. He spent time with sinners. And so there is this sense of reaching out to the weak and lifting people up and bolstering people. And so the Christian teachers go there and they care about their students. They're still teaching English. Of course, they go to the classrooms, they teach English and so forth. But these students are just fascinated with them. They follow them around and they ask them questions. Are you from the United States? Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, why do you believe in God? What is the Bible? What does the Bible say? Why do you read the Bible? How do you know it's true? And they have all of these students asking them these questions, and a wonderful revolution is taking place in China, not just because of ELIC, but there is a great growth of the church in China. Just fantastic. So we spent a week there, day after day, met all of these wonderful Chinese students. Some were believers, some were not believers, but all they become dear to you very soon. Something kind of occurred to me when we were on the plane coming back to the United States. And this is what kind of occurred to me. I thought, wait a minute. All of those Chinese students who are believing in Jesus in China are members of a communist nation. Man, this doesn't make sense. Now, I don't know whether or not they belong to the Communist Party, but they're in a communist nation. Well, we all know that communists can't be Christians. And so then I start thinking, well, wait a minute. All of the Christians in China belong to a communist nation. I don't know if any of them are card-carrying members of the Communist Party, but they all are a part of a communist nation. How do I really know that those who I was interacting with or any of the other Chinese Christians there believe in democracy? They may not. And I started to realize this. You know what? Believing in democracy is not essential to the gospel. You can become a Christian in a communist nation. You can continue to be culturally Chinese and believe in Jesus. Because how we are saved is justification by faith. We should not require people to become Americans first. We should not require people to become Presbyterians first. And I have to apologize to Pastor Phil, except I say that tongue in cheek because I know he understands. We should not require people to become Presbyterians first. We're encouraging people to become followers of Jesus in the culture in which they live. Because the thing is, whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I have one more reason to give to you. So we've said that God is a God of love, that He loves the whole world. And we need missions for those reasons. We need missions because the world is perishing without Christ. But we need missions because, thankfully, they can be saved by believing Jesus. But here is the thing. They cannot believe in Jesus unless they're told about Jesus. They cannot come to believe in Him of whom they have not heard, as it says in Romans, the passage that we read just a few minutes ago. How can people come to believe in Jesus if they have never heard about Jesus? And I'm going to share with you a statistic this morning. This is kind of an aha moment for people sometimes when they deal with this. I'd like to share with you a statistic today. And some of you are not going to believe it. That's okay. I'm going to show you what my source of information is. And hopefully you'll go to that source of information and hopefully you'll believe it. You know for a fact that the world's population is bigger now than it ever has been. Over 7 billion people. That's just an awful lot of people. And it continues to grow, continues to grow, continues to grow. Well, the good news about that is, hey, praise God, there are more Christians on the planet Earth today than there have ever been. Some people say more than 2 billion people alive today are Christians. In one manner or another, they believe in Jesus. They are followers of Jesus and the culture that they are in. Some of the churches look like ours. Some of the churches don't look like ours, but they are believers in Jesus. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that. But the other side of the coin is this. Because of the rapid population growth, because the population of the world just continues to grow so fast, there are also more people alive today who are non-Christians than ever before. Wow, we've been sending missionaries out from the West for like 200 years. What about all the Hudson Taylors? What about all the William Careys? And now all the other nations that used to be mission fields, they're sending missionaries too. How can it be that there are more non-Christians today than there ever have been before? But here's the statistic you're not going to believe. Here's a number. I'm going to try to verify it for you, but you're not going to believe it. 40%. 40. Statisticians tell us that 40% of the people alive today live in places where they are unreached by the gospel. Officially speaking, they are in unreached people groups, UPGs. Sometimes you see UPGs, unengaged, unreached people groups. What? Well, what that means is people who live in a place where there are no Presbyterian churches, there are no Baptist churches, there are no community churches, there are no Orthodox churches, there are no Christian churches, there are no Catholic churches, there are no churches. Sometimes 99% Muslim, sometimes 100% Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu, in places where Christianity is not legal and not allowed. So people live in places where there are no Bibles and no believers and no churches. And people go, wait, 40%? It's just not possible. We've been sending missionaries forever. But it is 40%, and if you calculate that out, it's about 3 billion souls. They didn't live in places where they couldn't go to church today. A month ago, we celebrated Easter. They didn't celebrate Easter. If they wanted to celebrate Easter, there's no place to go. In December, we'll celebrate Christmas. They won't be celebrating Christmas. If they want to celebrate Christmas, there will be no place to go to celebrate Christmas. Nobody in their land celebrates Christmas. Nobody in their land celebrates Easter. If they have heard anything at all about Jesus, if, and some of them have heard from the Quran about a prophet named Jesus, but if they have heard anything about Jesus, they have heard only a very small portion of the story, and it's been distorted from the truth of what the New Testament teaches us. 40%. So people go, wait, okay, you got to prove this to me, and I'm going to prove it to you. Those of you who have your smartphones out and you've been texting this morning during the sermon, I want you to go to a website right now. Just do a Google search. This is easier. Do a Google search. Get your smartphone out. Do a Google search, The Joshua Project. It's real easy to remember. The Joshua Project. Go ahead and do it. I'm giving people permission to use their phones in church. Is that okay, Phil? Sometimes I should ask permission first before I do things like this. Do a Google search for the Joshua Project. The Joshua Project is a website that keeps track of these very statistics. That 40% of the world's population lives in places where there are no believers and no Bibles and no churches. So friends, the age of missions is not over. It's really not over. And there are things you can do. You can pray. You guys do pray for missions. I love it that you're a missions-oriented church. I'm speaking here today. The Gideons are coming next week. I was a pastor for over 25 years in the EPC, and that was the kind of pastor I was. I always wanted to hear from the missionaries. Sometimes people in the congregation go, "Yo, Pastor Dave, you have too many missionaries speaking." But anyway, and so there's this emphasis on missions, and you can pray for the missionaries. You do pray for the missionaries. Thank you for praying for Pastor Andrew and pray for others. You can also give. Give to missions. Because though some of you are not able to go, but you're able to give, and many of you give. Thank you for doing so. I encourage many of you more to give. But there's another part of it too. You can pray, you can give, and you can go. You can go. In every congregation, I believe there are people who have a stirring in their heart to do something beyond just showing up on Sundays and doing church again and again and thinking, "God, I want to make my life count in a bigger way." I understand it's important to have churches and have congregations and churches, but I just think there are people who get stirred up and say, "God, I want to touch the world. I want to go somewhere where there aren't churches. I want to teach people about Christ who've never heard about him before. I want to go to China and teach some of those university students." Some of you are in a position to do that. And Mindy and I have that as kind of our sweet spot. What we love doing more than anything else is talking to missionary prospects. And we hope we'll get a dozen calls next week from all of you saying, oh, listen, I would love to talk to you about world outreach. How can I be a part of world outreach? And I just leave you with these words here. They were part of the scripture reading from Romans today. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's what we're saying. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? No, my friends, the age of missions is not over. And hopefully, by God, we're just going to ramp up and the next century is going to be greater until the return of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. When we look in the news today, sometimes we think, oh, you are arranging everything in a perfect and ideal way for the return of Christ. Maybe it will be tomorrow. But if the return is to be delayed, Lord, what about those billions of souls out there who have no access to the gospel? I know you've touched some of them by dreams and visions. I know that you have a heart's desire for missionaries to go to them. But today we pray for them. And we pray, God, that you would send your laborers into fields to minister to them, to take this good news of Jesus to them so that they can understand what the big deal is about Christmas and Easter and they can come to believe in Jesus and experience this everlasting life that we have. Use us in a simple and even profound way to do so. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.